So I had a nice fire on the day itself. Tony did the dinner. He let Billy have the day off. No chores for you today, he said. The way he gets on it, Billy drives me mad sometimes. But he did his best to make Christmas a good one for him. Did all the dinner. Give him a new pair of football boots as a present. Where'd you get those from? Said Billy. Don't ask, said Tony. He gave me a pair of decent slippers, and I didn't ask where they came from either. And me? I don't do shoplifting. I got Susan Harris to knit jumpers for both lads. Happy Christmas. Nice and thick and warm. You need something like that in this house. She knitted them. I gave them. It was good of her to help. And then I was sitting there in my chair. I had the bits of the piano all piled up. It was warm, but it gave a lousy fire, all cracking and spitting on the rug. I was watching Billy sitting there, watching it burn. And I was thinking of all the things I couldn't give him. No big presents, no bright tree, no mother. Where was my lovely Sarah now we needed her? And God knows we all needed her. Tony came in with the chicken. It smelled lovely. Merry Christmas, he said. Merry Christmas, I said. And I couldn't help it. I didn't mean it. I burst into tears. I just sat there and wept, and all three of them staring at me. But I couldn't stop myself weeping. I let the tears roll down my face, and I let them watch them rolling. I just had enough. I've just got nothing left to give.
You'll be working with 8 frogs, said my agent, and he was talking reptiles rather than Frenchmen. The comment was followed by that phrase overused by agents, it'll be great fun. By now, offers to do television commercials and voiceovers for radio commercials were coming thick and fast and simultaneously provided me with an income. The BBC do not pay well. I had never worked with frogs before, and haven't since. But this particular commercial, for a brand of food, really would put any smug, self-important presenter well and truly in his place. I was meant to deliver a line to camera, let's see how this dish is doing, while at the same time lifting the lid of a copper saucepan, and at that moment the frogs jumped out. Some creative genius at an ad agency must have been very pleased with himself for coming up with the idea, but it wasn't straightforward. I delivered the line, lifted the lid, but the frogs didn't jump. Cut. Take 2. Delivered the line, lifted the lid, and this time only one of them jumped. The retakes went on and on. But there were other complications. Behind the cameras, and standing alongside the ad men with the clipboards, there was a vet, as well as a man from the RSPCA, and a woman representative from an animal rights organisation. The trio were there to ensure the frogs were treated as, well, treated as stars. We were less than an hour in when an ad executive took me to one side. Floydie, we're going to take a break. The frogs need a rest. I'm sorry, I said. The frogs need a rest. The frogs need a rest? Yes. We're just following the rules. They need to go back into their aquarium. So, the frogs had a rest in their aquarium for 20 minutes, while I had a cup of tea.
Laszlo tugged a handkerchief from his pocket and carefully wiped the sweat from his eyes. Supposing, he said, that I consider doing as you ask, and for the moment I commit myself to nothing, when would I have to leave?
6, perhaps 7 days' time.
And I would receive this case in Paris?
We will give you the details when we have your answer. You must please inform us by 1500 hours tomorrow. If we have not heard from you by then, it will be assumed that you do not wish to help us. You will not be contacted again. And this meeting will not have happened.
He passed over a slip of paper with a number on it.
Call from a public telephone.
Do not say who you are. Simply ask, is Francois there? Nothing more.
Is Francois there?
We will take care of the rest.
One more thing, said Laszlo. You mentioned Kurt Engelbrecht. If I find that you've involved him in any of this, I will go directly to the authorities and denounce you. Is that understood?
Yes, said Emil. Perfectly.
He went with Laszlo as far as the head of the stairs, where the young man in the sports jacket was waiting for him.
You know, said Laszlo, whatever anyone may have told you about me, the truth is, I was never much of a freedom fighter.
Emil smiled.
I did not think you were Che Guevara, monsieur.
You see, said Laszlo, looking down into the well of the courtyard, where the late afternoon sunlight was heaped up in a corner, I couldn't pull the trigger. Did you know that?
We do what we can, said Emil, each in his way.
Yes, said Laszlo, but I did nothing. He turned to his guide. Let's go. Emil watched them from the top step. As they came to the turn in the stairs, he said,
Sometimes we have a second chance, monsieur.
He was not sure, however, if the playwright had heard him.
Sorry to disturb you so early, Mr. Flood, said Addis with light sarcasm. I don't generally get to bed till the small hours after a performance, Inspector, I said, already sensing that I needed to be on the defensive.
Late nights are an occupational hazard in our game as well as yours, sir, said Spooner. We haven't had much sleep ourselves.
No, well, I'm sorry to have kept you waiting, but I'm here now.
Your landlady kept us occupied, sir, with her colourful observations on the shortcomings of our uniform division.
Yeah, said Addis. Gather you had a break in here yesterday.
There was a break in, yes. Eunice was very upset about it, but nothing was taken.
Apparently not. And not much of a mess made.
That's unusual,
put in Spooner, with an exaggerated nod of deliberation.
But I don't suppose it's why you called.
No, sir, it isn't, said Addis. Though what's brought us here is also, unusual.
Are you acquainted with a Mr. Ian Maple, sir?
Asked Spooner.
Yes, he's the brother of a recently deceased fellow actor, Dennis Maple. Dennis died earlier this week of a heart attack. Ian came here a couple of days ago to,
find out what had happened, said Addis. Yeah. So he tells us,
Look, Inspector, what exactly is all this about?
I tried to sound genuinely mystified.
Mr. Maple's under arrest, sir. Well, he will be when he wakes up from the anaesthetic. They're operating on him now up at the Royal Sussex.
Operating? Badly broken right leg, sir, said Spooner. He was in a bit of a mess when we got to him. Any idea why he might have been breaking into a warehouse out at Fishergate last night?
What? The large quantity of hard drugs stored on the premises seems the obvious explanation, said Addis.
They were warming up their double act now, alternating their lines in a practiced routine.
But Mr. Maypole tells it differently.
When did you last see him, sir?
Asked Spooner. Yesterday afternoon. He came to see me at the theatre during the matinee interval.
To discuss what, sir?
Well, he'd been trying to track down a man Dennis said had threatened him. It seemed likely to both of us that the encounter had put a lot of stress on Dennis, leading to his attack.
Who is this man, sir?
I don't know. I never met him.